Hey, I'm Brian Teller. I work in DevOps and SRE, and I run Teller's Tech. Ship It Weekly is where I filter the noise and focus on what actually matters when you're the one running infrastructure and owning reliability. Most weeks, it's a quick news recap. In between those, I drop interview episodes with folks who are actually building in the space. Today is one of those interviews. We're talking with Gracious James about TARS, his human-in-the-loop fixer bot wired into CI/CD. We get into how he segments incident response into sub-workflows, how he keeps agents from turning into SSH with a chatbot, and the guardrails he thinks are non-negotiable if you're going to let AI anywhere near production. Today, I'm joined by Gracious James. He's been building TARS, a human-in-the-loop fixer bot wired into CI/CD, and we're going to talk about what it takes to make AI automation safe enough for real teams. Gracious, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be here. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks for asking. So I'm really interested in this TARS bot that you built. Can you give me a thesis of what you were actually building with TARS and why is human in the loop the core idea?
All right. So I am a software engineer, and when I coded and pushed my code into, you know, CI/CD pipelines, I saw that it took a lot of time to get through a lot of teams, especially the DevOps ones. So I started looking at the processes of how DevOps go through the incident response and everything like that. There's a lot of steps, manual steps that each and every person has to cover through. Going through it, I realized that all of these things are very, very manual, very repetitive. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong, everything is important and can break the system at any point. So having a human in the loop is very important. But looking at the processes, I also see that all of these things can be automated. So having an AI agent where human in the loop approach increasingly helps us to fasten the processes is what got me going into all of this.
Interesting. So what problem were you trying to solve that like existing tooling didn't handle?
Right. So all of the tools that I used into this workflow are existing tools, only that these are not custom made for, you know, my requirement, my mm-hmm. company or whatever it is. So I had to custom make the workflow using multiple tools from different domains. So I custom made, you know, the SSH access, in which there are, you know, validated SSH commands that my AI agent can utilize to find out what is going on into my Docker containers to get a proper system status report. And in order to do a comprehensive check, I compare those logs or the errors or whatever it is that the Docker is pointing out to my previous GitHub commits, be it the previous ones, the latest ones, or whatever it is. I compare them and get a comprehensive check. And based on those checks, it helps me to figure out where I should narrow my focus to. And once I do that, I kind of understand what are the fixes that I should be figuring out in a very short incident response time that I get.
That makes sense. Okay, so this was originally Friday, and then you morphed into TARS, right?
Yes.
Can you walk me through this evolution from Friday? Like, what was Friday and what is TARS?
Well, Friday in itself is a Eniten workflow. Now, Eniten is a high-level abstract API, multiple API application system where we can mm-hmm. connect different programs, subsections, and sub-workflows in which we take the data from one workflow, one action, and use it for the next process and step-by-step so that based on our custom input, we get a custom output which we utilize for something. But Friday in itself used a lot of tools, like some of the tools I myself created and named, like Wizard Development Server, Wizard Production Server, Wizard this API container, that container. And based on all of this, my LLM creates a system status report in which I get to know whether some container is down or up or what is going on, if everything is working fine. And if anything is down, then it sends me a report via Telegram. And based on that report, it's kind of an alarm going off, like in a plane's cockpit, and I am the pilot. all I see that, okay, Friday is telling me something is wrong over there. So it's my duty to go and evaluate, check what's going on over there. So yeah, it's kind of an alarm, alert system.
Interesting. How do you keep this from turning into like a chatbot just with like shell access?
Okay, so yeah. Everything is, revolving around guardrails. So when it comes to prompt, the AI agent for doing system checks has its own prompt, and the prompt involves not just doing any actions like, so it's very limited to commands like Docker PS, Docker logs, the errors, and all of this information that it can gather to make a, you know, comprehensive update as to what the system is going through. It actually cannot do commands that are harmful for the system, and that's given in the prompt. Now, I get your question as to, like, the LLM can go ahead and do anything if it has the SSH access. For that, what I have included is that in the tools like Wizard Development Server or Production Server, those are sub-workflows. And those sub-workflows don't just contain the SSH access. It has some validation parameters. It won't just let the LLM run any command it wants. It has validation checks based on what I have programmed it for logs. It has only Docker PS, Docker logs, and it can never actually go and maybe Docker stop or Docker restart, because all of those commands I have deliberately blocked in that sub workflow. So it is kind of a manual override over there. But yeah, that is a limitation that I have translated as a guardrail.
Oh, that makes sense. So, okay, speaking on guardrails a little bit more, online you had mentioned explicit rollback phases. What do those look like?
Okay, rollback phases. So, well, as a software engineer, when I do push some version into my development branch or from development to production, there's a lot of chances that after the CI/CD testing and integration, something does break when it actually goes out into the real world. So what we do know always as a software engineer is that the previous version worked, right? The previous version was pretty stable. So our go-to response is, you know, of course, fixing everything and putting it into the right place. But if it's going to take time, if we know based on the system status check that, okay, this error is a big one and it's going to take time, rather than, you know, just sitting on it for a couple of days and, you know, just letting the clients know that, okay, I'm going to take my own time and do this. I'm just going to roll back to the previous stable version so that their work don't get, you know, hindered or whatever. You get it, right?
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, so given the guardrails that you have in place, where do you require human approval? Or is there human approval, like, in the process?
Yeah, there is. There is. The human approval does not come during the system status check. So I don't really tell the AI agent, you know, where to go to read the data, where to go to debug the code or whatever it is. I have given it a set of instructions like you can check the Docker logs, you can check the terminal logs, you can check the logging system that I have implemented per code base, you can check the previous GitHub commits to correlate as to what's going wrong. But I don't really say it to, you know, go and check over here. I think it might be wrong over there. It doesn't do that. What the human in the loop approach, where it comes in, is to do some kind of action. Now, the action involves, you know, pressing some kind of button or running a pipeline or a workflow that actually changes some things in the system. Yeah. All of these things, the system checks and everything, is just reading the data and creating a status report. But where it actually comes to change something, change in the system, that's where the human in the loop approach comes in. And without my, you know, verbal API key, me actually telling the agent to run this pipeline, run this workflow, it won't really do that.
Okay, so you had mentioned too that you had prompt with like guardrails. What are the hard never run this rules that you have set up?
So it is kind of a corollary. What I'm trying to say is, without a specific phrase like run the CI/CD pipeline to deploy this version, this is the exact phrase it requires to run the CI/CD pipeline. So in my prompt, I have written it so that it looks for the specific phrase to actually activate that function. So without it, without that actual phrase, without those actual wordings, it can't run it. And that's in the prompt, I get that. But as I told you before, as a guardrail, I have put it also into the sub workflow so that it doesn't just run anything. Once Friday gives me the comprehensive system check, I have two options usually. One is to ask it again for a comprehensive system check when it has access to GitHub repositories and the GitHub actions. And that's when TARS activates, because Friday doesn't have access to the GitHub, TARS does. So TARS goes through the normal Docker logs and compares it with the GitHub commits and what might have gone wrong. And it gives me a proper report as to this is the area that I need to focus in. Now, it does ask me for a response as to what to do next, because after all, something is wrong in the system. So it's waiting for my approval or some kind of message that I need it to give. So I can again ask it to do some kind of comprehensive check. But if I'm good with whatever information it has given me, what I'll do is I can tell it to, you know, run the CI/CD pipeline to redeploy the previous stable version, the previous GitHub commit. So what it does is that based on this specific phrase, it activates the CI/CD pipeline, because in the sub workflow of the CI/CD pipeline, I have actually written that in order to run this, you need the specific phrase, run the CI/CD pipeline to redeploy the previous stable version. So without this phrase, so if this phrase involves like, okay, run the pipeline without the CI/CD or run the pipeline that I last deployed in the GitHub actions, it won't ever run because it does not match that specific phrase. And that's kind of rudimentary, but it gives me more, believable focus as to, you know, it won't just run anything just because I wrote it. Like, it is not up to its comprehension.
That makes sense. Okay, so let's say that a team wants to adopt human in the loop AI SRE automation. Where do you think they should start?
Okay, they should start, honestly, where they feel that a lot of steps that they do are not just rudimentary, but repetitive in tasks. Because that's where I started. I saw that the incident response procedure in itself has a lot of manual and repetitive steps. And not that I wanted to automate all of it, because after all, it requires access to SSH and a lot of system. And I can't just let an LLM run wild into it. So kind of segmenting. Yeah, that's the right word. Segmenting the procedure into different steps, converting those steps into sub workflows and integrating all of those sub workflows into a pipeline one by one, where I have the control between the input of one sub workflow to the output of other one, so that I keep in control as to what the whole picture is without actually letting one LLM know what the entire big picture is, so that it can manipulate, is the go-to for integrating these type of tools.
How would you pitch human in the loop AI SRE automation to someone that's maybe more skeptical?
Yeah. All right. So if a person, has their own skepticism about AI actions, LLMs, thinking on their own, having access to all of these tools, I get that. I completely get that, because that's where I started as well. But when you delve deep into how an LLM works, it works on an input and an output. So as long as you can use that particular stage of, you know, giving an input to an LLM and phrasing that output in a way that I want to see, and using that output into another LLM so that that LLM only gets the input that I am giving it, keeps the big picture to myself, and never the AI letting it know what the big picture is.
So you obviously introduced this because you're trying to, you know, reduce toil, you're trying to iterate quicker. What was the first thing that you used this AI tool to help solve?
Okay, so
where'd you start?
Yeah, it never started as a fixer bot. It actually started just on the basis of, you know, go into the system and tell me what went wrong and why did the Docker container stop? That's all. So what I used to do is creating a simple LLM workflow in which I copy the output of the Docker logs, paste it into the LLM, letting it know whatever the data I have, I'm giving it to you, tell me what went wrong. So then it explains me what went wrong one by one. And that's when I thought that, okay, this is one portion of it. why not I use the same portion for every single container that I have, but I want to automate it so that all I tell it is that, okay, go to this container and check it out, rather than me copy-pasting the logs and putting it and whatever it is. So for that, I needed to give it access to the terminal, right? Yeah. So that's where the SSH access came in. And that became a sub-workflow because I still needed to keep it safe so that the LLM just can't, you know, write anything. So I put the guardrail over there so that it can only write stuff like Docker PAs or Docker logs. And it did the same thing for me, told me what is going wrong or how the system is working. And that's where it started. And that's where it saved tons of time, me just copy-pasting stuff, me just looking in the wrong places, because I have to look to all of those containers mm-hmm. to see what is going wrong. So instead of that, I know exactly where I need to narrow my focus. That's where it all started.
And then you just iterated on that and started adding yeah. more features. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What does future development look like for TARS? Like, let's say the next 3-6 months, assuming you have the runway and you have the time, what features would you like to add?
That is a really good question. Well, TARS in itself is, I don't want to say limited. Limited is not the right word, because 2-3 months ago, I was pretty astonished as to what TARS could do with the tools that it had. And that itself was a huge accomplishment over there. But now, after a couple of months when I use it regularly, I feel that I could go more. So I could give it access to more tools. I can give it access to the infrastructure, maybe Terraform, and mm-hmm. you know, go from understanding what resources my system needs. And if it's lagging somewhere, what is the focus that I should maybe increase some resources somewhere, or maybe give it access to change stuff in Terraform or something like that. That's Terraform side of things, infrastructure. And that's one more tool to think about other than just, you know, GitHub Actions and SSH access.
Let's say you have teams that are interested in experimenting with agents in CI/CD, but they're apprehensive. Do you have any advice for how to get started or where to start?
Yep. So it never starts with an LLM, I'll tell you that. Yes, we are trying to embed AI into it, but it never starts with an LLM. It always starts with actually getting your thoughts and putting it into a paper, putting mm-hmm. it into steps, logical steps that I can program first, and then take that program and understand how an LLM will be effective in what positions. Because if you don't really have a work plan or a game plan to begin with, then the AI will also be as confused as you were.
Yeah.
That's where I'll start.
So what's your take on fully autonomous AI ops agents?
It's scary. Because
yeah,
I myself am not a very big fan of, you know, I don't want to say it out loud, but I don't really believe a lot in experience counts, because I believe if you're smart enough to do the smart thing, then sometimes even you can, you know, outgrow experienced people. Mm-hmm. If you know where to look and how things work very logically instead of, you know, just gut feeling, because experienced people tend to do that more. And that's where the AI and LLM lacks. It's kind of a hypocritical thing to say that thinking about the AI and LLM, always taking the smart choice instead of, you know, just having lots of experience, just a human, like a human has. But what I'm trying to say is that I still believe in the gut feeling that I truly hate in a lot of people. And that gut feeling is never going to be, at least with the information that I know about AI and LLMs, it has never you know, proved to have a conscience or a gut feeling that, you know, even if it sees all the data pointing to one thing, maybe a human knows that where exactly the error is, but the LLM will always go towards the probable cause instead of, you know, yeah. the gut feeling. So that's where LLMs lack. And that's why they can never replace humans, because we have that creative aspect to us and it's just a machine at the end of the day.
Yeah. That's fair. Okay. So going back to guardrails, what do you think? And we've talked about guardrails a lot. We've talked about AI and autonomy a lot. What would you say is the single most important guardrail for an AI fixer bot?
In terms of maybe single most, I would say validating every output that an LLM gives before you use that output for anything else.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, so closing thoughts. Just curious, what would be like one of the main reasons to start using AI and CI/CD? What can that buy you?
Well, AI is like an assistant and it works to automate a lot of repetitive tasks that humans don't want to do. And that primarily saves time, and time saved is money saved. But whenever we do tend to automate these things, we tend to get carried away in a way that, okay, I can automate this, I can automate that, I don't need you, I don't need that, I can put all of this into code. Well and good, but you know, anything can go wrong when an AI hallucinates.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so closing out, what advice do you have for people using AI in their pipelines?
Well, I understand there are a lot of disadvantages for a full-scale AI taking over a traditional system, but don't let that hamper you. Don't let that stop you from understanding your own process, understanding your own thoughts, writing it down, writing a program, and you know, running along with it, because everyone gets their own time and you know how to utilize that time. So you can always stop at a point, introspect as to what you have done till now, how it's going to affect the future, how it has changed your past, how it's going to help other people, how it's going to hamper other people, and take all of these things into confidence and building the next step.
Makes sense. Appreciate it. Thank you, Gracious, for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Brian. It was great being on this podcast with you.
All right. That's the conversation with Gracious. I really liked his angle of designing the process first and only then dropping LLMs in as helpers, not magic. If this episode was useful, share it with a platform, SRE, or DevOps friend who's been playing with AI agents and trying not to blow up prod. Hit follow wherever you listen so you don't miss the weekly news recaps plus these guest interviews. We'll be back with a regular Ship It Weekly news episode later this week. See you then.